John, I've got a riddle for you. What instrument do you learn to play without lessons, without being able to read music, and without being able to see others play it? It's no bigger than a piccolo, yet it can span more octaves in pitch than a piano and can be as loud as a jet engine. Everyone you know owns and plays one.
Wow, I have no idea. I'm really stumped.
Well, that's surprising, because you're playing one right now. So am I. What do you say we talk about
the human voice?
Right you are. This is Science Matters. I'm Jerry McCoy.
And I'm John Henshaw.
The part of our body that creates our voice is truly an amazing instrument, and we're all born with one. Like a snowflake, everyone's voice is unique and is capable of remarkable variety of complex sounds, including speaking, singing, mimicry. Our voices communicate emotions spanning delight, sorrow, confidence, fear, and much, much more.
So how does our voice, or rather the parts of our body that produce our voice, qualify as an instrument?
You can boil almost any musical instrument down to just three parts. A sound source that generates the pitch and timbre, or color, of the sound. A resonator that amplifies that sound. And a radiator that transfers the amplified sound into the air.
And the human voice instrument has all three.
The sound source in humans is the larynx, or what's more commonly called the voice box.
So that's where our vocal cords may be found.
John, we don't call them vocal cords anymore. We call them vocal folds.
Well, excuse me.
The resonator in humans is the vocal tract, or the airways above the vocal folds.
And what about the radiator?
The radiator in humans is the mouth and lips.
So take me through how these three parts work together to produce the human voice.
Let's start with the sound source, which in humans is...
the vocal folds.
Oh, very nice. Now, you might be forgiven if you judged the vocal folds to be less than impressive. They're really pretty small. A man's vocal folds are no longer than the diameter of a quarter, and a woman's would barely stretch across a dime.
So do you mean to tell me that powerful voices like Adele's or Tina Turner's start with dime-sized vocal folds?
That's what I'm saying. The vocal folds aren't like the strings of a violin that create sound by vibrating when they're bowed or plucked. Instead, they're more like a vibrating valve that chops up the airflow from the lungs into audible puffs, not unlike the clapping of hands. If you could hear the folds all by themselves, they would produce a rather unimpressive buzz. But that buzz is the start of the pitch and the timbre of the human voice.
So how do vocal folds change pitch? On a stringed instrument, you change pitch by changing the tension in a string.
Using the tuning peg.
Or by changing the length of a string.
By pinning it with a finger.
Or by changing to a whole new string.
Well, each person has only one pair of vocal folds, so all the tones you might want to make have to be voiced on that one pair. And you can't create multiple notes simultaneously, like a guitar or piano.
Well, unless you're a Tuvan throat singer.
Whatever. Human vocal folds change pitch using muscles that change their length and tension simultaneously. Now, there's something you couldn't do very well on a guitar.
Vocal folds must be made of some pretty ingenious material.
Materials. They're a complex structure of string-like ligament and muscles that tighten, all covered by a flexible mucous membrane.
So how does that unimpressive buzz produced by the vocal folds turn into something more remarkable?
That's the job of the vocal tract, which in humans is the set of interconnected airways above the larynx and includes the pharynx, the mouth, the nasal cavities. It's here that the unique quality of each person's voice is finished, as certain tones from the vocal folds are made louder while some are quieted.
Well, what about the rest of the body? Doesn't it contribute to how our voices sound?
Not unless you put your foot in your mouth.
An unfortunate but rather common occurrence.
Remarkably, most of our body has little or no effect on our voice. Only the voice box and the vocal tract do. That's why a tall man that you might think would have a deep voice can still have a rather high voice.
President Abraham Lincoln would be a case in point. But then why do men generally have deeper voices than women and children?
Well, it's not because our bodies are bigger, but instead because our vocal folds and our vocal tracts are by nature somewhat longer. Moreover, though we can all change the shape of our vocal tract to encourage particular tones, we can't much change their length. It's stuck on short, no more than a half a foot long in an adult.
Now, that's surprising because trumpets and trombones must change their length of their air passages in order to reinforce the notes that they play. And they do that using valves or slides.
Air passages for such instruments can be as much as 20 times longer than our vocal tracts. And yet our length-challenged tracts perform just fine. A well-trained singer can be heard throughout a musical hall without using a microphone and even over an orchestra. We humans do this not by making our vocal tract longer, but instead by causing our vocal folds and our vocal tracts to feed off each other, to reinforce each other when we want to go loud.
Wasn't there a third part of the human instrument, the radiator?
Yes. The mouth and lips get the sound out of our bodies and into the world at large. And once again, we can change their shape to add oomph to particular tones. For instance, just try to yell with your mouth opened only a little. Your voice will carry a whole lot further if you open your mouth as widely as possible.
You know, Mom always wanted me to play a musical instrument. I guess I've been playing one all along. La 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 la.
Oh, John, she'll be so proud. From the University of Tulsa, this is Science Matters. I'm Jerry McCoy.
And I'm John Henshaw.